Now, as we've read God's word, let's pray for just a moment. Father, I pray, Father, that you will take the reading of your word and that you will bless it. Father, I pray that you will open up our hearts and minds to the message here in the word of God as it's shared. Father, we love you today. I pray that you will glorify your son, Jesus Christ, in this service, and may we go away from this place saying it's been good to be in thy house. Empower me to share this message now through your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There we go. 2015. It's here. It's just right around the corner. Soon the crystal ball will fall in New York City and people will hoop and holler and it's a new year. You know, I remember not that long ago thinking 2000 sounded futuristic. You remember those days? The year 2000. I said, it sounded, oh man, it sounded so futuristic. All right? And as I thought about this, we're 15 years past 2000. Do you remember the old sci-fi movies that predicted how life would be in the future? Do you remember any of those? Oh, yeah, but yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, but specifically the movies, all right, the movies predicted the future for us. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Most of those movies had many of the same similar characters in them. Most of your old sci-fi outer space movies had a monkey, a planet full of women, and a third guy that was kind of a hick that would tell jokes. They did! They had a robot quite often. But that's the sci-fi I grew up with. All right? I know I'm dating myself. As I studied this out, I found out that the way man thinks things will go in time is usually pretty wrong compared to how it turns out. I'm going to give you a few illustrations. First of all, Lost in Space, the series. You remember Danger Will Robinson? You remember all of that? You remember the robot and Dr. Smith and all of those? That program was set in the year 1997. That's the truth. Sometimes I go to the movies with my wife, and every so often I give in and I go see a movie that she wants to see. And usually about halfway through, I say, boy, this movie could be fixed with a Terminator. Terminator took place in the year 2004. The world was supposed to end with this large nuclear holocaust, and robots were supposed to take over in the year 2004. How about, here's a classic. Now, anybody that likes sci-fi can relate to 2001, A Space Odyssey. All right? They predicted what life would be like in the year 2001. We'd be on our way to Jupiter. Robots would be in control of everything we do. We'd have a moon base. And we'd go to the moon just kind of happenstantially. It'd be easy to get there. People would make regular trips there. We would have passengers traveling through space, and hibernation would be a way we would get back and forth to planets. 2001. We're not even close. So they made a sequel to 2010. And in 2010, we went back to Jupiter. We're not even there. We haven't made it once. We're a long ways from Mars yet. All right? So 2001, A Space Odyssey. Boy,
We just missed the mark.
One of my favorites, Project Moonbase. Project Moonbase was set for the year to be set in the year 1970. Moon base, not first time to the moon, but moon base. All right, so here I am, so many years past all of that, and we have not even built warp speed yet. We have not invented it. So the way we think things will go in the future is so often different from the truth of how time will pass. Now, our text talks carefully about time. All right? I want you to, in our text, and I'm using the King James there, I want you to notice that there were four reoccurring phrases. Walk. To walk is the idea of the way we live. Walk. Live. Circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. And then Colossians says, walk in wisdom, right? So the idea is the way that we live. And then walk and live wisely. I like to think of godly wisdom as living life from God's perspective. And then notice with me the phrase there, the third one that reoccurs is redeeming. All right, to redeem something, you have to buy it back. So we're looking at the fourth word now, time. And of course, the phrase time doesn't need a definition. So we're to walk, we're to live wisely, bringing back our time. There's a similar thought in each text, and here it is. A wise lifestyle carefully uses time. A wise lifestyle carefully uses time. A famous preacher once wrote this: God has given you just enough time to do his will. If you're under pressure, it means you're doing the wrong thing or the right thing in the wrong way. It's amazing at times how messed up our schedules become, isn't it? Do you ever have that problem? How often we find ourselves with no time. We just run out of it, right? There are four things I want to share with you that vie for our time. And I should say this. We're going to come back to this text and this concept in just a little while. But there are four things that want our time. First one is God. By the way, I'm not going to say that this is the exact priority, but these are the four things that want our time. God wants your time. He invented time for you, and he wants some of it back. Understand this, that God wants your time. We could talk a lot about all the different things that God wants from us, but one of them is your time. When people say they don't have time for God, aren't you glad God had time for you? Right. Then another thing that wants our time is our jobs. If you're a student here, maybe school. I remember my days in college where I worked full time and I went to school full time. And boy, was it a challenge to put all of that together, you know, because I worked my way through as a second man in a two-man church. You know what the second man does in a two-man church? Whatever the first man don't want to do. So he asked me to work for him part-time, and he paid me part-time, but I quickly went to full-time and got paid for part-time, which I was a trainee, I was new, I was grateful for the opportunity. All right? I'm not complaining about that. But 20 hours a week quickly went to 40 and 50 and going to school full time.
So, during that time, I understand if you're in school here today, how much time can just take up everything. School can take up, work can take up all our time if we let it, right? I mean, it happens out there. All right? Our family needs our time, guys and gals. Our family needs our time. And then, of course, we need some time for ourselves. That afternoon football game, men. That's more my wife than it is me. Did you know that? She loves football. I watch one football game a year, and that's a Super Bowl, because I like the commercials. I have watched other games. Like, there may be a game in the future, I don't know where, the Lions may play the Packers, I might watch that game. And then make phone calls, or hide from the phone, depending on that. My wife is a tremendous Dallas Cowboys fan, and her mother is a tremendous Dallas Cowboys fan. There's potential for the Cowboys to play the Lions. Let me watch that, but that's about it. I don't watch much sports. I like time for myself from time to time. I like, for me, time by myself, if it's November, it means a deer blind. Amen. But we all want a little time for ourselves. So these are the four basic things that call for our time. We can pretty much put it all right into those four. Now follow with me if you would. A lot of problems arrive when we don't give one of these areas enough time. A lot of problems come into our lives. Or I should say this. An area in our life becomes weak when we don't give one of these our time. Now follow with me. I want to take and talk to you about having family time for just a few moments. Our families often become weak because we don't give them enough time. Our church life, our spiritual walk becomes weak because we don't give God enough time. Most of us men don't have problems giving work enough time. And then sometimes we become tired and weak because we don't allow ourselves enough time to just take that break. Right? Our families deserve our time. And I hope in your priority list, and I'll be speaking more on that in a moment, your family gets a fair amount of your time. I have never met Harry Chapin, and it wasn't ever a goal of mine to meet Harry Chapin. But his wife wrote a song for him that he later put music to and made infamous. It's called The Cat's in the Cradle. Do you remember that one?
No.
Okay. I'm going to try and quote The Cat's in the Cradle because it's been a song that I have followed through the years. It says, the child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And as he turned, his smile never dimmed, and he said, I'm going to be like him. You know, I'm going to be like him. He came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired, and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids are with the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure been nice talking to you, and the cat's in the cradle, and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. A lot of problems in our home can be fixed with a little more time. Now, let's keep going here. What does the Bible teach about time? That's the introduction. That's the introduction. I want to share a few thoughts on what the Bible teaches about time. All right? What do the scriptures teach us concerning time? All right, this is what I want you to see. All right, we'll go again. There you go. First thing it says to us is that time is short. Time is short. The major message in scriptures, the main thought that God wants us to understand about time is this. We don't get very much. God invented time for us, but he only gives us a small cup, not a big picture of it. We don't have a lot of time here on this earth. Notice with me the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 25. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away and they see no good. That word post is a correct word. It means courier. And it's interesting to note that our phrase post office actually comes from that, all right? My days are like a man running fast to deliver a message. He's like a post. Our days are like a post. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15 says, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. It comes and it goes. And then notice with me from the book of Psalms, chapter 89 and verse 47. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore thou hast made all men in vain. And now I want to give you this, my personal favorite. On how much time we have. That's it. Good. Thank you. The clicker's just... Have you ever heard of lag in a computer? We got lag in our computer. All right. Whereas you know not for what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Think of this as a mist or as a morning fog. Have you ever gone out on a cold morning? If you're in Michigan, you have. You walk out and you can make you blow your breath out and it's a mist. It's something that's quick and then it's gone. Our time on this earth is like a fog or as something that is here just briefly. And then it's gone. Now, think with me. If we don't have a lot of time, what should we do with our time? Focus on the things that are most important. Amen?
Amen.
Focus on the things that are most important. Right? Follow with me now.
The second thing we learn is that there are no promises. There are no promises about how long we're going to be here. No, we don't. The Bible says, don't you boast about tomorrow. Don't you brag about what's happening tomorrow, because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Retirements fail. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you two stories. Two stories about men whose life wasn't as long as they thought it would be. There was a guy I knew back when I was in my college days. He ran a party store that I was regularly in. When you're in Texas and you're out making visits and stuff, it was so nice to have a cold Pepsi in the car because it was hot. So when I was getting ready to go out and make a visit or two, I would stop in this store and I would buy a cold Pepsi bottle. All right? And I would take that with me as I was out visiting. All right? Now, we met the owner and we got to know the owner over a period of years. And he was getting ready to retire. I would walk in the store and he would show me pictures of his new house. He was going to sell the store. And he was building this new house down in Louisiana. And it was just so perfect and so right. I mean, he would go and visit it from time to time. And he was putting the store on the market in just a few months. And just a few months from this time when he wanted to retire, he went in the back room and died. I want to tell you another story about another man that we knew. This man was in the home church. He was a prominent man in the home church, and he was looking so forward to retirement. He wanted one of those big, massive RVs, and he was going to tour America in this massive RV. He bought the RV, and in 2 weeks he was dead. So what I'm wanting you to see here is, you don't have a promised another day. Not one. Do you know that today could be the day that you die? Today. So our time is short, and we don't have any promises about how long we get to stay. Just this morning, I read about another Malaysian airline going through a storm and has been lost. All those people on their way to some place for the holidays, and now they're gone. If we don't know how much time we have and we know it's short, once again I'm going to say this. Priorities become important, don't they? Prioritizing our time becomes important. So now follow with me. We're going to tie this all together in just a moment. I want you to look at this third point. All right? God gives us time to do everything we need to get done for him. To everything there is a season. Everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown wrote, earthly pursuits are no doubt lawful in their proper time and order, but unprofitable when out of time and place. And this is what I want you to see. We have the time. We have the time. All right? the major question becomes how we use our time. Once again, there are four basic things that call for our time. Time for God, time for work, time for family, and time for ourselves. What we don't give time to becomes weak. Remember that. Okay? But God gives us enough time to do what He wants us to do. God gives us enough time to do what He wants us to do. We have always got to be running through this priority list. And this is what I do at work, at the camp. All right? I am regularly running a priority list. All right? What is job one today? Do I do this? Do I do that? And when I'm really loaded, I write down the list. And understand this. That party list at a camp will change very quickly. Very quickly. I think I'm going to go do this, and people come to me and says, this is happening. I've got to adjust it all the time. I have found that a priority list for my day helps me to keep in focus the things that are most important for that day. God gives us enough time to take and do everything that He wants us to do. It's just that we get confused and frustrated by adding the things that He says really aren't all that important. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever just stop and say, hey, my main job today, I hope Christmas Day was a lot of time with your family. I hope that you took time just to love one another and just enjoy each other. There are days where work will fill your day. There are days when family will fill your day. And there are days when you're going to want to take just a little time for yourself. Oh, did I forget one there? You know what you can do? I did that intentionally. Take God with you to work. Take God with your time with your family. Take time for God as you're by yourself. And remember to keep time for worshiping God in your schedule. Remember, the thing that we ignore tends to become weak. Now, I want to finish this up. I want to form a few conclusions, and then we'll be finishing this up. Here's my last point. All right? The Bible speaks of an accepted time. Now, I want you to look at this in Psalm 69:13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Then Isaiah 49:8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. Now scoot down to 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. What is an accepted timing? What is the acceptable time? That concept is this. In my timing, I have done these things. Acceptable timing is God's time. God is saying, when everything was right, I did this. In the accepted time, I did this. For example, we just celebrated the birth of our Lord. That came at a time that was specific to God's plan. When the right time was right, when God said, okay, everything is set, Mary brought forth Jesus. And we celebrated that this week. Now, there is an accepted time, which is God's timing. It would be good if we learned how to operate on God's timing. It's not an easy thing to do, I admit that. But God's timing
is a goal that we should strive for, learning to operate on God's timing. Let's form a conclusion here. All right. We need time for God. We need time for work. We need time for family. And we need time for ourselves. Quite often they all call for, they frustrate us. They call for a lot from us at times. I'm not going to tell you that time for God, this is going to sound strange to you. I want to explain it. I'm not going to tell you that, please let me explain it. Time for God is always in first place. I know that sounds strange for a preacher to say, but listen to this. Taking care of my family is part of God's time. Amen? And if we're working together, honoring the Lord, I haven't taken anything away from God, have I? Working at my job isn't against God's plan. But as I go there and be a witness at my job, that's part of God's time. All right, time for myself. You know, that's all right. And as long as it's honoring God, it's not a bad thing. Now, am I saying you don't have to go to church? You can worship God somewhere in the woods? No, I'm not. We need time to worship together in the house of God. And we need time to focus ourselves quietly before God. I like to think every day. But you can't just say, I'm taking time for God, I'm ignoring my family. They should all blend together. When we are giving God his rightful place, our time tends to work out better, folks. And I'll say that one more time. When we are giving God his rightful place in our lives, our time problems tend to work out better because we're setting what comes first and making it first. All right? So that's my thought for you. I want to take and ask you to focus with me just for a few more minutes. Okay, let's move ahead here. The house of God is an important place in our life. We need it. And the house and time for God tends to balance things out. It tends to. It's not the perfect answer, but it tends to give us balance. Right? Let me ask you this question. And I'm going to come down here. And we're going to just focus our minds on this thought for a moment. Four things call for our time. If we give them their time, it gets better. If we leave time out of one, that one will become weak. Remember the four things: God, family, work, and ourselves. Does one often take number one job from us? Yeah, sometimes it does. There's no perfect answer. But as we learn to give God his place, as we learn to give God his time in our life, God tends to balance out the others. Let me say this just briefly. A lot of children that I see at camp struggle because parents don't have time for them. I see it a lot. Time for God, time for family, time for work, time for ourselves. All right? Question one is, are you giving God his time? I can't say you're not in church because you're here today, and I'm sure glad you are. But what about this? What about your family? Are you ignoring your family? Are you ignoring your family over work? Are you taking more time for yourself than you really need and other things are being left behind? This is our time to focus. take a look at your own life. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you have enough time for God? I hope you do. I hope God is a regular part of your life. Because once again, He tends to balance it out. But if you're not, I can dare say that you're going to find other things out in your life. I've been talking to a person. I'm embarrassed to say this for 10 years. They contact me and they say, this is what's wrong in my life. 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 And I contact them back. I don't talk to them personally, but they want my advice. I talk to them through the email and say, okay, tell me about this. When was the last time you're in the house of God? When was the last time you spent time with God? And then they'll say, all right, you're right. Our days are balanced when we give God His place. So, look at your schedule with me for just a moment. Look at it in your mind and in your heart, and you say, wow, I'm giving too much time to my work and not enough time for my family, or I'm taking too much time for myself and I'm not taking enough time for God. Look at it. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on 2015 being the year that we get our time in balance. We get our time in balance. Let's pray for just a moment. Let's close our eyes, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking down. Right? I want to pray for you as we close our service. Don't have to be looking, and I just want to talk with you as a friend for just a few moments. Pastor Smith, my life is out of balance because I'm spending too much time in this area. It might be time for work, time for ourselves. I don't know. But whatever we allow to be ignored goes weak. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, wow, I just haven't had time for God. I just haven't had time for it. I want to do better. Pastor, would you pray for me that I'll do better, that I will start this new year off giving God His rightful amount of time in my life. Is there anybody like that today? Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Don't have to come forward, but I need to give God more time in my life. Okay, hands are going up. Thank you. Be honest. Okay, thank you. Like I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay. Now, I appreciate that. Father, you've seen the hands that have gone up. Now, as you see the hands, Father, give them grace to spend more time in their day and in their week focused on you. I ask you, Father, to give them grace, to maybe make that extra effort to be in the house of God. Father, give them grace to make that extra effort to spend the time in the Word and in prayer, sharing their faith, whatever you're touching them with right now. I pray that you will help them make their time count. Because as we give you our first place, you tend to balance everything out. I'm not saying, God, that they got to be in church every last minute, but church has to be a prominent part in their life. I'm not saying that they have to read 10 chapters a day in their Bible, but surely reading God's Word would be a prominent part in our life. And it's as we give you your rightful place in our lives, you tend to balance things out. Now help us, God, to seek to work on your time schedule. Help us to see our lives from your perspective, and we'll be ever so grateful as we move ahead for you. For it's in the name of Christ I pray, with thanksgiving, and amen. And you're dismissed.